I don't know about you, but I am the sort of person who likes a really clean house. When you walk on the floors and there was no dirt, no grit, it's just smooth, calm, beautiful. Or when the towels are all hung up in the bathroom, when the toilet roll is just perfectly on that toilet roll holder with it going over the top. When you look at the kitchen and there is nothing on the bench. The TV unit has no dust on it. Ah. The satisfaction of that, the clean house. But with a house full of kids, six people in our house all together, those moments are so rare, so fleeting, and I actually can't even remember the last time all of those things came together at one moment and I had that satisfaction. There are always dishes in our house, six people using dishes, always dishes in the sink or in the dishwasher. Our washing machine pretty much goes every single day. There is always laundry. It is never ending. And I've resigned myself that when I actually mop the floors, when I clean them, it's going to last 5 minutes. But those 5 minutes, wow. And I know that the kids, not willingly or not, they don't mean to. They'll just traipse in dirt. Or if it's not the kids, it's the dog. That kind of thing happens in a house full of people. I long for a clean house, for an extended period of time where our house is clean. Oh, those moments, that satisfaction. I'm not sure if you can relate to that kind of longing, but there are lots of different longings we can have. What about if you long to see someone that you love, a friend or a family member that you haven't seen for a little while? Or what about the longing to come to an end of a treatment for a medical condition? Something even a long, hard journey like cancer. Or a longing to come to some sort of end of suffering. Do you long for something? In the song we sang a few minutes ago, it talks about longing for heaven. Have you ever longed for heaven? For things to be perfect? To be with Jesus where you are face to face with him, in that place where there is no more suffering, in that place where mercy rules the streets, where there is peace, where there is Jesus. Or maybe you sang that song without thinking too much about it. Maybe the last time you thought about heaven was when you attended a funeral. Like Jeff said, we're in a series called Behind the Music where we're looking at some of the songs we sing in church and what is the meaning behind them? Because the musicians and the songwriters didn't write these out of accident. They are full of meaning and they come from biblical themes and passages. So the song we're looking at today is called Hymn of Heaven by Phil Wickham. And we sang that just before communion. So this song is about the hope we have in Jesus, that when we believe and we trust in him, we believe that he is preparing a place for us, a place that is beyond our imagination, an eternal home with him. And the song starts, how I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him through all eternity. So as you sing those words, that song, is that true for you? Do you long to breathe the air of heaven, to be with Jesus? Maybe you've never really thought about it before. Heaven seems such a weird concept. How can we long for a place where we can't go and visit? How can we long for a place that we've never seen? What is it like? How do we know that we want to live there forever? Or maybe you've never longed for it because you imagine heaven to be this place where everyone's floating around on clouds and playing harps like a lot of the cartoons portray. Does that sound like a place to look forward to? Or maybe you imagine heaven to be like a never-ending church service where you can't move, you can't talk, the pews are uncomfortable, and you've only got 1 minute to last for all of eternity. And you're singing songs that you have no idea what is going on, the pipe organ is blaring. Do you want to go to that place? Or maybe you want to go to a place that's more exciting. That's more than just an eternal church service. That's more than just people floating on clouds playing harps. And if that's what you're thinking, you're in really good company because that's what I want. I want more than that. So what is heaven like? And how do we know we're going to go there when we die? Well, Jesus answered this question when his disciples asked why he had to leave them. He says in John chapter 14, he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. This invitation is for everybody. Jesus says, trust in God and trust also in me. He made a way for us by dying on the cross. And that's why we sing the line in that song, to look upon the one who bled to save me. It was his death and resurrection that made it possible that we can go to that place in heaven, that we can trust in Jesus. He is preparing a place for us. And this is our first glimpse of what is to come, of what heaven is like. It says that it's a home. It's God's home. Now, what are your first thoughts when you think of home? Now, we know that not every home here on earth is a perfect home, but home is supposed to be a place of refuge, a place where you can come at the end of the day and you can rest and relax, maybe have fun with family, you can eat food, you can be rested and restored. Kylie Forrester, who was on staff here at church, who now lives in New Zealand, was visiting Cairns in Christmas. So this is her home, but New Zealand's also her home. And she was talking about this dynamic with her kids, and she's like, where is home? And one of her kids piped up and said, home is where the water doesn't taste funny. Other people say, home is where the heart is, or wherever I hang my hat. Or a little bit edgier, I saw a meme the other day that said, home is where you poop most comfortably. Home is where you can be yourself, your true self. You don't have to put on a show. You don't have to put on a mask. This is you, the place where you are most comfortable. You can be the real you. Now, here on earth, some people don't feel at home. We don't feel at home in our bodies or in our houses. Our bodies betray us. They let us down. And a friend recently, I heard her say, well, I just wish my body would age consistently. Why does one leg hurt more than the other? Why can't they just hurt both the same amount? Why can't that be? Why do our home here doesn't feel like home sometimes? Why do our bodies betray us? Why don't we feel at home in our bodies? One thing we know about heaven from the Bible that we read, that when we are face to face with Jesus, we will be home with him in this perfect place, but we will also be given a new body. And this new body is the real you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. As a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. This is our hope. This is what we have to look forward to. New bodies in a new home, where we'll be more at home than we have ever been before. And Jesus said, there is more than enough room. I'm preparing this place for you. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you accepted his invitation? And maybe you're asking, that sounds really nice. I want to go home. I want to be in that place. But I still don't know what heaven is really going to be like. And what is it going to be like? Well, the answer to that question is, I don't know exactly. We don't know exactly. But we trust that heaven isn't going to be a boring experience like those examples at the start. It isn't going to be strange. It isn't going to be ill-fitting. It isn't going to be uncomfortable. The Apostle Paul wrote this about heaven in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. In verse 9 it says, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is beyond our imagination. It's going to be mind-blowing. It's going to be an incredible place that we cannot even dream what is waiting for us, what God has prepared for us. And when I think about what God has here for us on earth, what creation is like, the intricacies of just the detail and the beauty and the stunningness of the place we live now, earth, imagine what heaven is going to be like with the beauty that we have now. This is beyond what we can imagine. That is just mind-blowing when you think about it. God is preparing this place for us. And we know that this world isn't perfect. The Bible says this world is groaning in pain, waiting for Jesus' return. Imagine what is to come. this home, this perfection, this beauty, this stunningness. I don't know what's in store, but it's going to be amazing. Paul wrote, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined. There are no words for what God has stored for us. We can't experience it right now in this earthly body, but it is coming. This is the hope we have in Jesus. How I long to breathe the air of heaven. But even though heaven is beyond our imagination, the Bible does give us hints. It gives us images and symbols of what it will be like. In Revelation, in the last book of the Bible, the Apostle John has a vision of what heaven is going to be like. And he says this in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now amongst his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. A new home where God wipes away every tear, every pain, every sorrow. In this life, we know that we are going to face hard things. You are going to come across things that are just really difficult, because as followers of Jesus, we know we live in a fallen world, but we also know that this will disappear. Many of you know that my dad is suffering with motor neurons disease, and this is a disease that attacks the nerves and the muscles, and the body shuts down. Doctors don't know what causes it, and there is no cure. So as my dad lives with this disease, as his body is shutting down, I have this hope for him. I know that one day soon, he is going to be face to face with Jesus. He is going to have a new body, a body that is fully functional, a body that is without pain and suffering that he is feeling now. And the pain and suffering he's feeling now will be a shadow of a memory for him, because there will be no tears. It will disappear in this perfect home with Jesus. If you're facing difficult things in your life right now, there isn't something that's wrong with you. What you're experiencing is really real. Pain and suffering is real. It's never easy, but I encourage you in those moments to come to God. Cry out to God. And the next verse in this song is for you. It says, and every prayer we prayed in desperation, the song of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. Towards the end of last year, if you're here, you'll remember that we did a series in the book of James. And in James chapter 1, he talks about suffering. And he talks about that when we're suffering, even when we do not understand what is going on, when we don't understand what is happening in our lives, when we choose to worship God, he gives us peace. Jesus is with us no matter what. He is walking with us through those hard times. Every prayer prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. I think if the Apostle Paul were around today, this song would have really resonated with his heart. It would have been really close to him, because he knew what it was like to live with that desire of longing for heaven in this life as he walked with Jesus here on earth, knowing that he was called to be a witness, but as part of that, he was going to suffer. This was a man who had a promising career as a Pharisee. He was called a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was taught under the best leaders in the Jewish tradition and religion. He believed that God's law should be upheld so strictly and so strongly that he did that himself, but he enforced that on others. And Paul thought he knew who God was. He thought he was following God by following all these laws and commands. He thought he was being righteous and holy. But Jesus threatened everything that he knew about God. And he was out there to get those who followed Jesus, who taught about Jesus and Jesus, because Jesus' teachings were so different to what he experienced before. And he thought he was being true and honourable to God's law by pursuing and persecuting these people. But then Paul came face to face with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and his life was turned upside down. He gave up everything to follow Jesus. He gave up everything to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He went from a man who persecuted and killed those who followed Jesus to a man who was one of the most influential leaders in the early church. And so much of the New Testament that we have was written by Paul. But even giving up everything for Jesus didn't mean he lived an easy life. He was beaten while he was here on earth. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted, all for Jesus. And I'm sure that there were many times in his life that he had doubt and fear, that he cried out to Jesus in desperation. But near the end of his life, Paul wrote to Timothy, who Timothy was kind of a mentoree of his, and he says this about Timothy: he was my true son in the faith. And he's coming to the end of his life and he's writing to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Despite all his hardship, his faith in Jesus, his hope in Jesus, he said it was all worthwhile. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he wipes away our tears. But Paul says, this prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly await his return. The next verse in this song says, and on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, forever he shall reign. People throughout history have had that same hope, that same longing that we have today. And there is going to be a day when Jesus comes back and we will stand beside all of the people we read about in the Bible. We will stand beside generations that have gone before us who have put their hope and trust in Jesus, in that place where we face to face with him. That is something we can look forward to. And we look forward to heaven, but because of that hope, because we have that hope of heaven, we can live differently today. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 17, the Pharisees are asking Jesus about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of heaven. And they're saying, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replies, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Now, the Pharisees were looking for this kingdom of God because they thought it was going to be come and overpower the Romans that were oppressing the Jewish people. They weren't expecting the Messiah to be someone like Jesus, who was going to die a criminal's death. But Jesus was bringing the kingdom of God to people here on earth by changing the hearts of people one at a time. And Jesus explained through many parables that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that works unseen, but it spreads and grows in the hearts of people. And the kingdom of God had begun right under the Pharisees' noses, and they missed it. They didn't expect Jesus to challenge their religiosity, to challenge their rules and regulations. They didn't understand that Jesus came to be a servant, to die on the cross. They didn't understand that God's kingdom was bigger, was for everybody and not just the Jews. They saw Jesus as a threat to what they were doing, but they didn't see the heart change of people who were coming to follow Jesus and trusting in God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. And when he said that, he was talking about himself. Jesus was revealing who God was. And that's an amazing thing. And what God looked like. And those Pharisees missed it. They didn't want it. They rejected it. And other translations of that verse say, the kingdom of heaven is within you, or the kingdom of God is within your grasp. This is the nature of the kingdom of heaven. It is now, but it is also not yet. And when we sing this song about three quarters of the way through, you'll notice as we're singing, it changes from there will be a day to so let it be today. So let it be now that we sing the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. We look forward to heaven, but because of that, we live differently now. Our Phil Wickham, who wrote this song, says he wrote this song, and I'm going to read out what he says. He said, "This song is about how the kingdom of heaven is here right now. Jesus tells us in the scripture that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as Christians, we show the world the kingdom of heaven through the ways we live. Sometimes we look forward to the day when we have access to the kingdom of heaven. But it is important to remember that the kingdom of heaven is already alive through Christ in us. It's about letting Jesus be king, letting his rule and his way take over. Jesus commands us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and love your neighbour as yourself. So when we show mercy to someone, when we look after the vulnerable, the poor, the widow, the orphan, when we show forgiveness, when we are generous, when we love, when we pray for someone, when we show compassion, we are bringing a little bit of God's kingdom of heaven here on earth. We are showing people who Jesus is. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven and live differently with that hope that we have as we be Jesus' hands and his feet today, as we do the things that he asked us to do, as we bring that light to others around us. And we're going to sing that song as we finish up the service this morning. But as just before we sing, I want to pray, because maybe I think the Holy Spirit might want to move, God might want to move among us. Actually, not might, I think God will move among us. For maybe someone that he will fill your imagination of what heaven could be like. For someone maybe that the Spirit would bring conviction that the life you're living right here in front of you isn't quite looking forward to the heaven, the kingdom of heaven. That the Holy Spirit would reveal what that home is going to be like, what home looks like here and also to come. And maybe what the Holy Spirit might want to do in your life is that the kingdom of heaven, God will show you how to live for that today. So I'm going to invite God to move amongst us as we pray. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that we can long for heaven, but that your kingdom is also here but not yet, that we have hope that, Jesus, you died for us, that we, and you are preparing that place for us. It is a place where there is no more suffering, that there is no more pain, that mercy fills the streets. I pray that as we long for that, as we desire that, that as we walk this path that you've got us here on earth, that we can bring that light to those around us. Jesus, I pray that you'll give us that hope afresh, that we can get to the end of our life like Paul and say, I have run the race and I'm looking forward to being face to face with you. Jesus, I pray that you'll give us that longing, that as we sing this song, that you will give us that fresh vision of who you are and what we have coming. In Jesus' name, amen.